How thankful are we? I mean, honest. Let's be honest. Let's be real. How thankful are we really? And if you're one sitting in the room today and you honestly believe in your heart you have nothing to be thankful for, you're breathing. I'm sure that you have food enough to eat breakfast. I'm sure you're able to take a shower. I mean, so there's tons to be thankful for. But we're a people who becomes very unthankful very quickly. Very quickly. In the Bible. Now we're talking about a King James Bible, not those other things that they think they call a Bible, them other fables. God never promises in there that everything's just going to be all right. Everything's going to be just hunky-dory. He never promises that everything's just going to go according to plan and we're just going to be obedient and good little children and everything's going to be fine. First of all, we live in a world that's wicked. And then not only do we live in a wicked world, but we have a wicked heart inside of us that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But it becomes worse when we become unthankful. That's a lesson I had to learn when the Lord showed me, Dale, you're in a place that you've forgotten where you've come from. And you've become unthankful and you've become a complainer. Being unthankful means you're not grateful. And when you're not grateful, you're a complainer. It's just how it is. That's how it goes. And the Lord's been showing me that about myself, dealing a lot with what's going on inside of me. But today I want to give a message on how thankful are we for what Jesus has done for us. And how many of us thank Him daily for what He's done? Or how many even think about it? Today's day and age, how many people even think about what Jesus Christ has done? How many people think, hopefully on a daily basis, at least pretend to think about where He's brought us from to where we are today? That should be something we should think about. Because think about where we could be. I told Amy yesterday, I looked at her and I said, Amy, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ sending the man of God in our life to preach this Bible to us, I said, you realize I'd either be dead or in prison and you'd be alone with kids. We wouldn't be together. We would be divorced. We're just a few steps away from divorce, guys. That's it. I mean, being reality. That's reality. And God has brought us a long ways, me and Amy, over the past 10 years. Most of you guys, I think all of you, have witnessed that. But then there comes a time where you forget about what Jesus Christ has done for you. And all of a sudden, guess who steps back in the rain? We do. It's a mess. And so the Bible says, you guys know this, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Most of you can quote it. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Let me ask you this. Because you can quote it, does that mean you know how to live it? Tim, you may be able to quote that verse. All three of them, all those verses to the bottom. But do you live it? This is part of the priesthood. This is part of something that we should be every day as thankful. It's part of the priesthood is to be thankful every single day. I don't care how many of us can sit here and quote Bible verses. Most of you guys learned all 13 verses of Corinthians. But do you live it? Okay? And that's what I tell the people in jail. Hey, man, good. I'm glad you're learning your Bible. Excellent. Let's do that. It's a wonderful thing to hide God's word in your heart. But let me ask you something. Can you live them? Can you live them? I'll tell you this right now. You won't if you're unthankful. You won't do it. You know why? What are you gonna think that you're thankful for, Eric? You're not. If you don't think that you have to be thankful for anything, you're not gonna thank God for it. I mean, what about a simple, hey Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I get to go to church this morning. Anything. Just thank you, Lord. But if you don't think that you have anything to be thankful for, you won't be thankful. You're just not gonna do it. And we all get in that place. And that's what the the message here is about is getting into that place here. It says, rejoice evermore. Boy, that's a hard thing to do when you're in trials and tribulations, to rejoice evermore. It doesn't say when it's just good times. Rejoice evermore. That means good, bad, ugly, in between. Rejoice evermore. Do you think that people are really thankful when they're going through that? Do you think they have a reason to rejoice? Oh, God has to teach us that. I can't say that I have it down pat, but I've learned. I've learned to take and open my Bible every single morning, starting in here in verse 16, and praying this back to God, saying, Lord, this is what I need to be every single day, no matter what's going on. And you guys know what's going on in our lives. You guys understand what's going on. That can make you bitter and cold towards God very quickly. You know why? Because you forget about being thankful. I'm just going to tell you this. The world's out there waiting for you. You're going to step into it one day. You've got your toes and maybe your foot into it right now. But one day you're going to get out there. And just to say, Sam, let's just say the Lord calls you into the ministry. Which is possible. Nothing's impossible with God. He could be a pastor, a preacher, eventually. We don't know what God has for him. We don't. We all can sit here and go, well, maybe that's not what he wants. You're right. Maybe that's not what he wants, but that's why God will give it to him. I didn't want the jail ministry. I wasn't looking for it. But let's just say God calls him up to that. Do you think God's just going to call him up and leave him the way he is, or do you think he's going to train him up a little bit? One of those things he's going to train you in is to become thankful. On a daily basis. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. If you've never tried it, and you guys have your own struggles, you have your own trials, you have your own things that you go through. You go through things. Are you thankful in those things? Are you thankful in those times? We all have hard times. We get our sadnesses and our depressions and all that. And, you know, we've all learned how to have good character and cover that all up. But deep inside, we're empty. It's black. It's just, you know, a horrible time. Are you thankful in those times? If not, you'll become a complainer. And when you become a complainer, forget about picking up your Bible. Forget about having joy from, you know, coming over to church. It's gone. That joy is gone. Through grit and teeth. Lord, you tell me to rejoice at all. Tell me to be thankful in all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I've been there. I am there. I'm not telling you something that I'm trying to just prepare you for. I'm telling you something because it's something I'm going through, not out. And I don't pray God gets me out of things. And I'm not sitting up here talking like I'm some Superman and I'm just super religious, righteous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not. I'm very weak when it comes to this stuff. But the only way I'm ever going to be made strong is to go through it. I'm never going to get any strength. If thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's what it says. And you know what? The more times I faint, the more times God's got to bring that right back around again. So you know what? I might as well just grit my teeth and say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for what we do have. My goodness, look at 32.6 pounds I'm down. I'm running 3/10 of a mile. Okay? I mean, all this, I don't have something to be thankful for. My wife is down 35 pounds. We have food. People have donated food to us. They've given us cards. People have left food in our car. And I don't have a reason to be thankful. I have a home. For the first time in my life, you guys don't know what it's like to be without a home. And a home is just more than a building. The home is where there's love at. Yeah, you can go through rough times and you may be out in the streets, or you may be traveling or whatever else, but you have a home when you have each other. That's a home. A home is not just a building. And for the first time in my life, I have a home. And I have a house. Okay, you've been to my house. It's nothing elaborate. It's nothing. It's not the Taj Mahal, but to me it is. If you've ever been without a home, you have to sleep in cars and be homeless and all that, man, it's wonderful having what I have. Don't I have a reason to be thankful even in the hard times? I do. My mother's car, it's working perfect. I get to use it. I had to pay $110 to get it fixed. So we could use it, but hey, I had the money in my account to do that. Is that something? Spiritual. I told the Lord this morning, Lord, we are spiritually bankrupt. You can go ahead and just keep the bank account and do what you want to do with it. I said, but right now, me and my family are spiritually bankrupt. That's got to be the important thing in our life. That has to be the most important thing. Because when spiritually things are attacking you, you are not a thankful person. You can go through hard times without money in your account. You can go through hard times with everything falling apart around you. But if you're also spiritually bankrupt, boy, that's a big problem right there. You're not going to become thankful. How can you rejoice evermore? And then it says, pray without ceasing. That means not stopping ever. There needs to be times you fall asleep saying a prayer. There needs to be times that you wake up in the middle of the night and pray. There needs to be times you'll get up the next morning and you'll be praying. Pray without ceasing. You say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for, but you woke me up, or you had this on my heart, or whatever. God knows what it is. Pray without ceasing. If you don't think you need prayer for yourself, then pray for somebody else. Man, I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I was praying for somebody that I was in the boys' home with. I was 13, 14 years old. Knew his name, first and last name, haven't thought of him in eons. And I woke up with his name, first and last name, praying for me. That's something. Why? Do I know? I don't know why. Clear as day. Clear as day. Pray without ceasing. And then it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. You mean, Lord, all this stuff that's happened in me and my family, this is your will for us? It is. You mean, Lord, that spiritually right now we just can't make it? We're starving. We can't get fed off of your word. This is your will? It is. It is. What do you mean? You took our child from us. Now to be thankful in this because this is your will? Yes. Yes. And I'm not saying, sitting here talking like I'm some spiritual giant. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you what that Bible says. Either you're going to take it word for word and believe it for what it says, or don't believe it at all. You can't pick and choose. Give thanks for how many things? All things. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do we always understand it? No, we don't understand it. We don't always understand. Hey, let me just tell you this. Would you please show me somewhere in that Bible where it says God has to explain himself to me? Does it say it anywhere? You've been around the Bible long enough. Anybody want to show me where God said he has to explain himself to me? Or why he does what he does? Or why he has to explain himself to any human being? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and it drives the people in America crazy. This is why they got to have those other Bibles to bring God down to their level. It drives them nuts because they can't accept that God, his ways and his thoughts are above us. Could you imagine serving yourself, Sam? Imagine if you were your own God. Well, we can get that way. We all know that. But imagine if God thought the way you did, Sam. What if he did, Randy? But can you imagine if God thought the way you did? That's horrible. That's a torture. But let me just tell you, those phony baloney Bibles and those churches, that's what they want. Because they can't wrap their mind around something being higher than them and his ways being different than their ways. They can't wrap their head around that. It just doesn't make sense to them, so they have to get something that makes sense to them. They can't just accept that throughout all eternity, God has always been the supreme one. And they can't get it in their head because they think they are. At one time, God had to separate them because he said, man, they think they can do whatever they want. They say they can reach me. And in their heart, that's what they really believe. They weren't lying when they said it. They really believe that they could build something to reach God. And God said, I got to confound them. I got to confuse them. I got to separate them. Guess where we're at? Now people aren't worried about reaching God. They have become their own gods. There's literally a religion called the Nation of Islam who really believe they are gods on earth. They really believe that. They call themselves mathematical and universe and all that stuff. That's the names they walk around with. They don't use their government name.
Are you hiding something that you're afraid to use your government name? People are like, oh, you know, people, oh gosh, you know, the government wants to look at our phones. And here, hey, you want to peek in my house? Have at it. Do what you got to do. I got nothing to hide. It doesn't faze me a bit. I hear all these people, they're crazy. They're all so worried about the government following them, so worried about the government looking into their business. I don't care what the government does. Go ahead. I got nothing to hide. I've been running from the government my whole life. I'm going to keep doing it? No, I'm not doing it. You want my phone, FBI? Here you go. You want to see what I've been looking at? Have at it. What are you hiding? What are people hiding that they don't want the government looking at their phone? What is so private? Look away. Anchors away. Quench not. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. As in verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. Why? You can quench the spirit by not being thankful. Despise not the prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That means when things are hard, it told you just to hold on to those things which are good. You may not know anything else at that time that you're struggling. You may not know anything else but to hold on to that which is good. That's the only thing that'll get you through. Hold on to that thing. You don't think God understood that when you go through hard times that you would have to hold on to something? And he said, hold on to that which is good. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for the beans. Thank you for whatever it is. Thank you for that. That's holding on to something good in those hard times. But people can't hold on. They become unthankful. The Bible says people are not thankful. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But what? The very next verse it says, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their veins, their thinking has become vain, and their hearts were darkened. Why? Because they were unthankful. That's what it does to you. It gives you crazy imaginations. It gives you vain imaginations. It makes you a hard heart when you become unthankful. All from becoming unthankful. All these crazy thoughts. What's a vain thought? Well, I want to be a millionaire. Well, I want to be this. Or I'm going to do that. Those are all vain things. And they have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do. But you know what? We like to grip onto the world. We like to grip onto Egypt, man. We want to hold on to that sucker forever. And you know what? Our thoughts become that way. We have vain imaginations. And then our foolish hearts are darkened. Why? Because we became unthankful. And if we're not, and if we are not thankful, we're not thinking on God. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. All by becoming unthankful. Oh, that's what you want? Okay, Eric, here's your vain imagination. Here's your dark heart. Here you go. You can go ahead and have that. You ever have yourself for a while? You'll know when you get it. You'll know. It's horrible. It's a miserable place to be. It's not a fun place to be. And when God turns you over to yourself, you better watch out. Take heed. See, that's the problem today is people aren't taking heed. People are sitting in Black Creek Baptist Church and the preaching comes out. The Word of God is coming out. They're not taking heed to it. You know what that says? It says they're deceiving themselves. There's people in this church, guys, that are up there deceived. They think there's something they're really not. Book of James says it. Why? Because their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. Start becoming unthankful more and more. See what happens. See where you end up. You'll end up in a bad place. You will end up in a bad place. If you cannot be thankful to God, you will end up in a bad place. And it's all because you don't want to be thankful. And it'll bring you somewhere that you don't want to be. So if you would, just take heed to the Word of God. And go and search that word thankful out. Go search it out. And you think, see if it's important to God. See how many times it's in your Bible. It'll blow your mind to see what's in there on that. I think that was a very important word. A very important lesson that God wants to learn. He put it in there so much. You think, go look at that. Romans 5:8 said, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us.
If you're unbelieving, why would you be thankful for that? Why would you be thankful for God dying for you?
If you're not saved, you wouldn't be thankful for that. That would be something that never even crossed your mind. When's the last time Christ dying for you because you were a sinner crossed your mind? When's the last time you became thankful for that?
Let's go on. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." The Bible is clear. Your mind has been blinded by the devil. You can't see what God wants you to see. Those things that you think you know, that's not what God's trying to show you. He already knows you know them. He's trying to move you beyond that. He's trying to get you to a place beyond anything you ever knew, ever could imagine. Listen, in order for me to be trained for the ministry, God has to be able to bring me to a place that me and my family have never been. He's got to bring us lower than we've ever been. He's got to bring us to a place where the only thing we have left is to look up, is to rely on Him, have no trust in money. It says that the money has wings like an eagle and it just flies away. It's gone. God doesn't want that idol in my heart. That has become an idol in my heart, trusting in money and riches. You know what else became an idol in my heart? My family.
What do you mean your family?
God comes first, not my family. We can get that twisted up pretty quickly, and they become an idol. That money becomes an idol.
Oh, Dale, you say you have faith in me? Don't you trust me to take care of your family? Don't you trust me to take care of their spiritual need? Don't you trust me with your children's soul? That's why most people try to force a profession on people. Because they don't trust God with their soul. Just because I become diligent for your soul doesn't mean that you're going to get saved. Just because I become diligent for my children's soul doesn't mean they're going to get saved. That's between them and God. God has to do that. The Holy Ghost has to come in. Isn't He the one to reprove and convict of sin? Not me. I can show them, I can teach them, but if I ever try to take the place of the Holy Ghost, it's never going to work with my children. Matter of fact, it'll never work with anybody that I ever work with in the ministry. I am not the Holy Ghost. I am not God. I have to use His words. This, right here. If I get anything outside of that, forget it. Let's see, Isaiah 53. Go to Isaiah 53. Most of you guys know it. Here's a reason to be thankful right here. Let's read Isaiah 53. See if this might help change some minds. I got a few verses to read after. I'm going to try to read through this pretty quickly. Isaiah 53. "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he should grow up before..." We're talking about Jesus Christ there. "Him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him." Boy, is that not true? Hiding the faces. I mean, everybody's hiding their face from God today. "Hiding our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne Tim's griefs and Sam's griefs and Dale's griefs and Randy's grief. And he carried our sorrows." He carried them. You understand that? "He carried, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for Dale's transgressions, for Randy's transgressions, for Tim's transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned one every one his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Could you imagine that? Here you go, Jesus Christ. Here is the sins of every single person that's ever going to live or ever going to come into this world. He laid it on top of him. Now he's going to take it all. Isn't that alone enough to be thankful for? Here's what's happened. The seriousness, the validity, the importance of what Jesus Christ has done is lost in the churches today. We need to be reminded of what he's done for us. And we need to understand that it's not just about us. We get caught in it's just about me. It's just about us. And it's not. It's about him.
Isn't that what got us in trouble in the first place? Is us? Let's go on. Verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare that his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Ready for that? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. This is something God willingly chose for Jesus Christ. He chose this for him, for us. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that's the sin nature, S-I-N, singular, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul shall be satisfied. The suffering of Jesus Christ for us satisfied God's atonement. It satisfied God. To see him suffer satisfied what God needed for us. It goes on and says, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Listen, Jesus Christ didn't just take these things, put them in a ball, and just toss them in there. No, they were laid upon him. He brought them upon himself. He wore them. He took them upon himself. Every single bit of it became upon him. You know what? So you didn't have to pay that judgment. And then it goes on and it says, in verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. So the righteous servant, justified many, shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin, singular, that's the sin nature of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's what he done for us. That is what Jesus Christ has done for us. So let me ask you this one question. If everything's taken from you at one point in your life, how about him and what he's done for you? Will that be good enough for you? Will it be good enough? What if you get hurt? You can't go to the military anymore, Sam, and you can't even work a job anymore. Will God's inheritance, will what he gave you, be good enough for you? Will you be satisfied with that? What about it, Randy? What about you sitting in a wheelchair and paralyzed from your neck down? What about it? You see, the importance of the price that he paid for us is not in the churches anymore. Matter of fact, when you start preaching this stuff and start reminding people what Jesus Christ done, it doesn't touch them. There was a point in time in history where at any point in time, somebody would preach on Isaiah 53 and what he's done for us, and you know what? It would make people weep. Today, you can't get people to weep with that. It's lost its power. It's lost its veracity. It's lost what it really meant. It's gone. It's not there. You know why? Because everybody's so thankful for everything else around that. Let's just be honest. Let's be honest. Can I ask you a question? You don't have to answer me. Answer in your heart. Did that touch any of you in here? Let's just be real with ourselves. Did that make you more thankful? Does that make you want to leave this room and go be thankful for what Jesus Christ done for you? Hey, you see this? That's what this does. This has to show us what the reality is. This is the only thing that's going to be tough enough on us, Tim, to show us what we really are. This is it right here. And how did you come to that conclusion, Dale? Because God had to show me about myself with this. Mark 15:28 says that the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. It was fulfilled. It's a reality. It's true. It happened. But how many lives today are touched with that? How many? How many are running to the altar because they finally see what Jesus Christ has done for them? Zero. Zero. Negativo. Zingo. Nothing. There was a point in time where people's hearts were soft enough that they could preach that message and we're going to break somebody's heart. It's not like that today. It's really become, in people's hearts, a fable. It's just become a religion. It has no meaning. Let me ask you this.
How many of you are in love with Jesus Christ? How many of you can honestly say that today you're going to rest your head on Jesus Christ's bosom because you're in love with Him so much? If you love me, keep my words. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says it two ways. Old Testament, New Testament, that's what he's quoting. One, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's telling about the Old Testament. Then he says, if you love me, keep my words. He is the word. Keep my words. Keep what I say. New Testament, okay? If you love me, you'll do that. How many of us are doing what he says? Then what's the proof? The proof is we must not love him.
If we don't love him, are we going to be thankful for what he's done for us if we really don't love him?
There's no sense of beating around the bush here. God knows all of our hearts, does he not? Does he not? Is there anybody's heart in here right now that's hidden from God? And I'm talking about all of us, okay?
Is there anybody's heart that's hidden from God?
I don't think it is. But we've got a hardness. Now, we do. We come to church faithfully. I'm hoping most of you at least read your Bible, maybe say a little quick prayer to God. You know, give him about 10 minutes out of the day, you know, because that's how much he means to you. That much he means to you? Oh, you give him an hour a day? Oh, that's
big.
You know why? Because it's come to a place where we're not thankful for what he's done for us. The more you become thankful for what Jesus Christ does, the more you think about it, the more you realize, my goodness, what he really done for you, the more time you'll want to spend with him. Let's just say you meet a girl. Wouldn't you want to spend more time with her to get to know her? And the more you know her, the more you get to love her? Why aren't we doing that with Jesus? Do we really want to get to know him? Do we really want to fall in love with him? Hey, if we do, you know, things are going to have to change, Eric. John's sitting up there going, you know, Dale, you know, if you want to grow closer to me, things are going to have to change. Things are going to have to be different. That's the problem with most of us. We don't want things different. We're okay where we're at. Can I say this, please? And of all sincerity and all love, if you're comfortable where you're at today, you're in danger. Especially if you're a lost person.
You are in danger. You're not promised the next 2 seconds. And you continue to play with that. There's people all around. I know it hasn't happened to anybody in this church. What's it going to take for somebody to die in this church and go to burn in hell? For to shake some people up? Why do we have to get that far? Why do we have to let it get that far? Why can't we go there today on our own? Why can't God move and stir in our hearts?
Eric, why can't he stir in our hearts? Why can't his word touch us anymore? Why can't we read what he's done for us and what he became and what he went through for us and not touch us anymore? Why? We've become hard to it. Some of us, and that's me, I'll raise my hand. We've buried it with knowledge. It's wonderful to know your Bible. Don't get me wrong on that. But it's not wonderful when that knowledge takes place of what Jesus Christ really done. And you can't have a soft heart anymore because your knowledge trumps that. Don't think it doesn't happen because I'm guilty of that. And I don't even know that much of the Bible. But that's what I strove. I strove to know that Bible, Tim, and I forgot about what Jesus Christ done for me. I couldn't hear. I covered that still small voice up. I shut it up.
And it's made me unthankful. It's made me a complainer. Knowledge has its place. And I heard the bell ring. Give me 1 minute. Knowledge has its place. But charity edifieth. It's charity. It's never going to be what we know about that Bible as much as what that Bible needs to break in our hearts. It needs to, those clods are hard. And I'm talking about all Black Creek Baptist Church and these churches beyond. And I'm talking about us personally, each and every individual, including me, I'm pointing at myself, that God needs to break those clods in our heart because it's come to a point where we're not touched by what Jesus Christ done for us anymore. And we all have to admit that. We all have to say, yes, we're guilty of that. That's a bad place. Now, I'm not saying Jesus Christ expects you to think about it 24 hours a day. But when is the last time that we have thought about it and just became so thankful for what he done in our lives?
And how many men can get up there and preach a salvation Jesus Christ message and it doesn't even stir anybody anymore? How many? And then when we walk out of this room and out of this church, anything that God seemed to give us, how quick do we forget it? How quick? Okay, what's that saying? We're not thinking about Jesus Christ. We're not thankful for what he's done for us. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you this week. Okay? I'm going to challenge all of you this week, and I'm going to be in this challenge. And if you want to hold each other accountable, we should do it. Okay? But I want you to get up and at least name one thing every single day that you're thankful for. And I want you to think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Even if you're a lost person sitting in this room, I want you to think about what he done. Take 5 minutes in the quietness of your head and just think of what he'd done. If you have to, read the chapter where he was hung on the cross and what he went through. Read that. Get that in your head. And to be thankful for one thing. Do that. I want to do it all the way till next Sunday. Every one of us. To do that. And then see what your attitude is. See if there's a difference in your attitude. See if there's a difference in your outlook, okay? And I just want you to do that because I think it's very important that we get it back.